down this side of the line. No, it's not.
I think it doesn't require a lot of changes.
No.
We create a manifest, which is a standard Java manifest with some more attributes. And then you package jar, which is a bunch of classes, some resources, files, whatever.
Yeah.
Manifest, and that's it. And then this is, you know, what you have under.
The kind of bundle has no Java in it at all.
And if we should insist more on the fact that OSGI defaults the combined deployment units, the bundled deployment units. So we see real blocks as the two levels of containment. The current level is the Haram level, where you have components living in the same class loader and linked to each other. With blocks, you have application snippets of plugins, which you can deploy independently and start and stop dynamically. So you need a second level of deployment. And inside the bundle, you will have the current available component management for components that are inside the bundle. So it's another level of container. It doesn't replace a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main goal.
Yeah. Avalon may effectively pops it through it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You may ask Avalon
yes.
for a component, and it knows what actually that component is wired through OSGI, so that bundle up there, and your bundle, your code just gets it.
So from the code point of view, you have the parent component manager of your local component manager in the bundle that delegates to other bundles. So it's transparent from the Avalon point of view.
So in my own blog now, I could use components that are not iterated right now in my bundle, but it's from the parent bundle. And if I would be asking OSGI for giving me this component.
There is no concept of parent bundle. There are siblings.
Yeah.
But from the component manager point of view, you have the local component manager, which does have a parent, which is the framework, the OSGI framework, and can scan all bundles.
All bundles within the
same
So you would just ask your component manager, give me this component, and you don't necessarily know whether that came from your own bundle or from...
So basically you write your components the Avalon way as usual, but you have an additional way to package them.
Yeah.
And what we plan also is to provide also a means to have other kinds of containers, such as people container spring, that is each bundle will be able to have its own kind of container for its own components. So people wanted to write modules with Spring will be able to do it.
You talked about doing this all dynamically, but I noticed that where you've got pluggable blocks, you've got a question mark after at runtime. Why is the question mark there?
It's not for free.
It's not for free.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a dynamic components, you have to check what the tower is.
Right, so when you say it's not for free, is that from the block developer or from the computer's core?
From the component writer point of view, because you have to your component has to be yours, and some of the dependency may go away.
Right, so you can design the question mark is because it's dependent on whether I go my block to the dynamic.
It's also whether it's desirable
within Cocoon.
There's our goals. Do you really want that? Do we need that?
Yeah, we do within Forest.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is maybe secondary. I mean, for us, the main goal is to get something to work, something working. Also, to show that to other people, other community members volunteer, that we can show something. And if we can show deployment time, blocks, and so on, you can step on it.
So, these are the long term goals, are you saying these are the goals for that?
In terms of using OSGI, in one sense, the runtime capability will just kind of be there. We might actually have one wire
in theory.
We don't want it. Then, if you don't mind a few kind of exceptions here and there because you've just unloaded something that somebody else was expecting, if you're not fussed about that because it's not going to maintain the state or anything, then we would probably have to do work to prevent you from doing that. Because you just get a console up, and you say, that's the bundle I want, install it, okay, start, and I want to stop that one, stop. And it stops all in the line running.
From the reason I ask the question is from a forest perspective, what we want to do is create one instance of forest that can serve, for example, all hatching sites. And some sites are going to want to say, well, we need to use this forest for calling the plugins, but we expect it to be called blocks. But we want to use this new block or plugin. But it has to be deployed at runtime because we're serving all Apache sites. So yeah. We can't shut down the server and so on.
You want basically to have the forest server?
So you're serving the sites dynamically?
Yes.
This is basically a running Cocoon.
Yeah, it's a Cocoon application.
So you have some incoming requests that ask for to generate a specific site, for example.
So what you just described is it could happen, but it's of course your problem. This isn't necessarily a problem.
You have to consider the dependencies between the bundle that can be loaded and unloaded at runtime. That is, if you need to load at runtime, say a plugin which is specific to a given site, it's very unlikely that the forest core will be dependent on that plugin, which means it can be unloaded. Problems occur when we have some dependencies that are no more satisfied. So in your use case, I guess there's no problem.
What about if I've got two, I notice you've got dependency resolution based on version numbers.
Yeah.
So supposing one site is working using version 1.1 of a block and another one is using 1.2. Is it possible to have both versions in there so that those dependencies
are definitely
We're waiting on. Were you currently using OSGI release 3? OSGI release 4 has lost those. That's
Yeah. It keeps 3.1.1 is based on OSGI version 1.
Bosco does have that functionality.
I think what Ross says is interesting because we notice that loading a dynamic is not a problem. What the problem is reloading or unloading. That's where you get a cannon block.
Right.
But just loading, you say, this comes from free.
All the mechanisms for reloading is that, but you have to write some codes to use it.
To know what happened when
the
time.
But that's for all targets, that's a problem, but we're not likely to unload things very often.
That's not part of the framework, so
I would imagine in the forest, you wouldn't really have any components in your blocks that are plugged in like that. All of the components are going to be in the forest, the main core forest block,
for example, change everything.
Are you going to have any Java code that is actually executed for a specific schedule?
Possibly. Because we have now three types of plugins, import, internal, and output. The internal will definitely be blocks as you're describing, and they will just go into core, so they're not an issue. The import plugins, they convert external sources to the internal formats that we use. Now, those external sources could be, for example, a database, which would involve the JDBC code. So it could be some Java stuff in there. The output's probably won't be Java in the output. You do use an input.
Can we go over the goals quickly? They are not in the order, it's not very relevant. It's just the order that we wrote them down. Smaller core, it's clear. Can have different options, but we want it to be smaller. And so distribution can be smaller. Binary distribution means we could have a binary distribution again, hopefully a very small one, that we then get the inheritance. And also, the simple deployment, if you just want to do XSLV stuff, should be small. That's not big, too big problem. Right now, we have the lib directory, which is 83 megabytes. For many applications, you don't need all of it. So that's why we can, that's pretty easy.
One question there, the small code, would it mean that I have like a really small code, and everything that I don't have will be downloaded from repository?
And this is the OGRGIF
service. The Oscar project has the Oscar bundle repository. Yeah. So there is already bundle repository technology there.
A way of discovering bundles.
There's a bundle, repository that XML lists all of the metadata for the bundles in that repository. So you can download that, and then know what you've got, and you can identify which bundles you're going to need.
Second goal was pluggable blocks, what we've been calling real blocks. And here, as we said, two options, deployment time, which is immediately useful, and runtime, which is useful for you guys. And I think the question mark means mostly that we don't want maybe to support all the edge cases and the kind of warps, like reloading and stuff. So loading dynamically.
I guess it will take a lot.
Something that we forgot to mention about bundles is that a bundle can have an activator, which is a very simple interface. And if you implement this interface and you have a class in the manifest, then when OSGI loads the bundle, it will call your activator and give you a bundle context which gives you access to the environment. So this is how a block could register services.
At which point you could then say, you register yourself as a service. You could say, actually, I'm going to need these services. OSGI giving me some needs. I don't know. I wonder whether we would necessarily be using it. We would not be.
The activator?
No, we would probably not be giving activator to a block user.
Maybe not, but we use it internally. Sure.
Yeah.
Just to say, you know, about OSGI, I guess in code, it's just two methods. Quick edit test cycle, this, we have that today with the Twin for XSLV sitemaps, more or less for Java code with the compiling class loader, and we want to keep this. And it's not necessarily heavy. Because when you start packaging stuff in JAWS, then you lose this quick modification. We said that as a goal because we want to keep that, including Java code. Isolated block means that block can export certain interfaces and classes, but keep most of its stuff private, not inaccessible from the outside. Intelligent sharing of JAWS, so JAWS help. Typical use case is the endorsed libraries in JDK 1.4, which get in the way. You want to make sure you have this version of the.
Or also, if you have several versions of a single library, some blocks require one version and another one require another version.
Dependency resolution, that's getting a specific version of a block or of the jar, including several versions being loaded at the same time, like blocks and runs.
For me, the dependency resolution is kind of, I take it all as Debian, we can just say, get me. For example, you might say, get me the Cocoon documentation jar, please. And he says, well, actually, that depends on Forest. Actually, Forest depends on Cocoon. Cocoon depends on Xalan, and it works its way right away through the tree and says, here are the bundles you're going to need to download. It's going to take you 24 hours to download all of that. Do you really want to? Yes or no.
And then the versioning is the additional counter, getting the right version. So having several versions for in which they get the time.
So the first version is kind of flat, you're only one version of out of anything. The second one is actually
now if you have a repository you could
can't think to classes, so we couldn't use their interfaces. So
the block interface can be out?
No, but if, for example, you wanted to use Hibernate, you couldn't have a Hibernate interface block, but actually you have to go and download Hibernate itself somewhere else.
Well, with downloadable bundles, just reduce to your UDL, you could use the Kunda as a part.
Yeah, you could have, we could have.
Much more easily than you see today.
That's what you would do, is you would have a non-ASF bundle repository.
Yeah, because what you're saying is just one in mind.
Yeah.
And then you say you have to use this and not this.
Yeah, and the bundle has a UDL.
What we could do,
either ASM or somewhere else. Mm-hmm.
What we could do would be have a simple link. I mean, I don't see any reason why our bundle or repository couldn't hold a link to even the full metadata information for Hibernate. But say, actually, you have to go to that repository over there to get it. I don't see why. So long as the manifest file is released to the license, that's good.
Okay, the last code that we wrote that was compatible with existing apps, which can take two forms. Either static stuff where you have to run update scripts to do stuff to your code, or dynamic where mappings. For example, one problem that we have is that the OS, if it's OSGI. The OSGI export is based on packages. We have to export the full package. In Cocoon, for example, there are lots of classes in the org Apache Cocoon generation package, which come from different blocks. This doesn't work. So we might have to change package names for some generators, which means your sitemaps referring to the class name will not work anymore. So this can either be fixed by running a script or by having dynamic mapping. When we process the sitemap, we know that this class is not there anymore, and we give the other one. So there are two ways to test. So the goal is to enable you to use your ideas.
I don't think we have that problem.
The package thing?
Yeah, because Oscar, which doesn't implement the version number, you can actually say this I export this package name dot star import and say I'm only exporting the implementation parts.
Okay.
So you could say all the Apache Cocoon generator. I'm actually only exporting that.
Okay.
In which case, you've solved that.
Yeah. But anyway, there will be some issues today.
No, I think it's our fault.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me that some issues are obviously not have some issues.
Yeah. The thing is, we don't want to break all ones.
Yeah, but I guess that we are happy. We want to create it, just run it. We know that we have great issues.
Yeah. We'd probably ask for your help in creating this film.
Probably, and test it. Yeah. I was talking with Carson yesterday about it. Yeah. I mean, we saw a problem at the change that it was made on the trunk of 2.2.
Yeah.
And we say, well, we are happy just to go off the border testing and just writing down some documents and say, well, you guys say, oh, this is what we found there. You know, our application from moving from Cocoon 2.1 to Cocoon 2.2, we're having this problem. And then, you know, moving from this release to another one, we found this problem. And we are happy just to document it and say, well, you guys, why not?
This is more than welcome.
I will write it then. as soon as this guy just fixes the bug that
we gave him a beer yesterday.
Okay.
See that rock up here in the background. And the last thing here is the wall deployment. That's evident that we want to stay compatible with J2E. We don't have to event.
The significance of that is that actually the whole model of OSGI is actually about turns itself on its head. In as much as you start up an OSGI framework, and then you start up an HTTP service within that framework, and then you register your service with that. So you don't have, actually, you haven't started a server call. In Oscar, it actually embeds Jetty inside it to do it. So actually, you start up OSGI rather than Jetty or Tomcat. But there are going to be situations where people want to run it in whatever what you call it, JBoss or whatever, and you need to still.
So what we would do, what we do already, is that the changes you do into the Cocoon server, it's now the Cocoon server which starts the OSGI. Like that already? So, and the OSGI, the framework is small thing.
Yeah, 200 kilobytes. From a basic framework.
It's one of our smallest
jobs.
And we have a mod.
Then some of the services is some tens of kilobytes, some couple of hours. And it's much like your operating system, so where one starts the OSGI framework and then one starts services as a different start levels can be started.
We use a lot the command line.
Is
that all going to be able to use it as well?
We haven't implemented that yet. We are going to do that.
But do you own your beer as well?
Just the one beer.
When it's finished.
We're not talking much, but we're going to talk very soon. And finally, the vision as it stands today is to explore OSGI for these scopes. I want to stress exploration. We're not committed to it yet, but we're trying. It looks good. He's converting us. And then let the framework be our slave, not the opposite. This is important because when you look, I was reading the spec on the frame, and it's great.
Yeah.
Now you see, oh, we could do this and this and this.
But you know, we want to invent everything ourselves.
Stay focused on these goals and just use the framework. And, I don't know if you guys have additional goals that you might have forgotten. Try to stay high level and doing too much deeper.
One of the actual goals is to remove this.
From our perspective, that question mark is the biggest question mark for us.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier on, and we kept finding that the answer was going to be the cool blocks to many of the problems that we're facing. If that question mark remains, the cool blocks is not the answer.
Well, if the only limitation is this risk of when you're unloading or reloading things, then that's manageable. We can worry about how to manage that within the forest. So if you remove it to the extent it was explained before, the responsibility lies on our shoulders to make sure it works, then that's fine, I think, by all.
I mean, it's just you don't want to go unloading a block that's actually about an economist transaction while someone is about, once someone is in the process of spending his last sums of
money. Well, I mean, Forrest isn't going to be going down that kind of route anyway. If somebody wants to do an e-commerce application, they're going to be using Cocoon, they're not using Forrest. We're still remaining a publishing environment. We don't want to rearrange Cocoon. We're kind of stupid when we're using Cocoon. So that really isn't an issue. I think we can manage that as long as we're given the facilities to spot when that happens and act accordingly.
Well, yeah, well, it would be some people would get that response.
It is a way of just tracking that in the sitemap with the error, tracking the error processing and stuff we've got in the sitemap, and that's enough for us, giving a meaningful error that sitemap.
It would be interesting to hear a little bit about your plugin architecture.
Well, that's really a very simple hack right now.
Okay.
It doesn't deploy at all the time. It only deploys when you start up the application. And all it does ultimately is looks at what plugins are available and then adds into, creates a dynamic sitemap and adds it into the core sitemaps, a point at which the plugins are loaded. So you go through your sitemap, loads in, or put the full sitemap is generated as you start up the application. If that doesn't work, of course, it carries on through the name of the sitemap. It's just 3 points, 1 for each of the types of plugin. So it's there's nothing in there that we need to keep.
I mean, maybe you can give us an input on that problem and try to get a more dynamic.
Yeah.
I think blocks is the thing. Nicola was saying earlier on, every time we said this, it's all blocks are the solution. Now we've heard what blocks are, and I agree with him. It does seem we have some concerns there. You know, and your concerns have been addressed as well. we were in total agreement that blocks would do for internal plugins. The internal plugins are the ones that extend the functionality of Forest, and I think that's very clear what you're talking about with blocks. What we weren't sure about is whether our input plugins, which are the ones that take some source and convert it to our internal source, because they're quite simplistic in most cases. But you asked the question whether they'd have to provide Java, and occasionally they will, which makes them a block. And the output of views guy, the output plugins are going to be almost completely replaced by views, and you say you'll need to create Java, use Java sometimes. So again, that makes it, that's why I think we solved our issue. The concerns that I remember, my concerns. So I wouldn't bother looking at what we're doing on plugins at the moment. I don't think it would add anything to what you're saying. It's more likely that we'll scrap everything we've done on plugins with blocks, as you've just described.
It's been a pretty elegant solution, what we've had there. This will be even more.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, our current plugins made it work, but it is a hack.
Yes.
It does the job, but it's definitely a hack. It's wasting the time.
We also have something that we call a sitemap DevOps. If you had happened to read the Inky documents about blocks or the blocks discussions, it was quite a lot about block protocols and letting one block inheriting from another block.
Oh, right. So what you can do is you can have a forest skin, which you just launch up, and then you would, if I get this right, you could say mount another block, which just re-implements the skin against a particular URL.
Yeah.
That's a
view.
So all you do is you just implement that bit, just the necessary matches on your sitemap, and say this.
We thought a little bit different. We didn't use sitemap specific matches. We used contracts, and so you could place in any level of your project just net contract, and you got the meetings alright. So it's actually reading the new one. If there is this one, it's using this, and if it's not, it's using the former. But it's the kind of thing
We have the same thing in sitemap blocks, so that you can. If you have some kind of basic block, it can have default implementations of all the resources, and then you can extend on that and replace some of the default resources.
That's essentially what we call an internal plugin at the moment. We're able to replace chunks of the core sitemap with an internal plugin.
I don't know whether Daniel will object, but you're using the two too. There is a prototype of that. There is already a prototype of it. I'm sure you'd like to have someone play with it and tell him whether it works.
We could have a look at that. Might be dynamic plugins whilst we're waiting for blocks to.
Well, I mean, effectively, what these blocks give us is sort of easier deployment and fast weather isolation. What the sitemap blocks gives you is interaction of the sitemap level between different blocks and inheritance and.
You've got that documented over block stuff on your wiki.
That's what most of the documentation about blocks
on
the wiki is about. It sort of says all about sitemap blocks and then the blocks and class loader isolation.
Sort of thing.
That's which is the hardest bit.
Have you guys talked about how this might map to a release? Do you intend to do all this before 2.2 comes out, or work it in as you have 2.20 releases?
I think the thing is that talking about Cocoon 2.2, I don't think we really feel there's enough in Cocoon 2.2 at the moment to justify
and then of course there's
a new release. It's, you know, there's a few nice features in it, but it's not really much. So
it's too very much cool.
So I think, you know, I think as soon as this is in there, then that becomes either 2.2 or potentially 3.
I thought that the idea of the
2.2 branch to go to operating stable branch, isn't it? I mean, I'm taking as well.
It's
stable branch.
No,
it was, we also talk about using the 2.2 branch. That's the same way that it's using the Linux kernel. I'm just talking about the number.
We talked about it, we didn't adopt that.
Okay, fine, so great.
I think the consensus now is that the 2.1 whatever is stable, is used, and there's no hurry to get anything out. And we're now looking at the stuff, and once we have complete evidence of this working, then we do a release, but we don't have time to start for people in Bandbox. It's more like we're waiting for enough material to justify.
How does the system know when to reload a block? Does it have a push number change on the block for the master system?
Well, currently it depends on the framework you're using. Either command line or Win Terminus or whatever. You take one variable out and you load another one.
You do it manually.
Yeah.
But basically, what we can have is a bundle manager, which is itself a bundle. So, we could, for example, provide sitemap components or components you use in Postgres to do some element of offer management itself.
Let's let the forest people just use it.
And see what happens.
Actually,
there we go.
Call that forest unit.
That won't be said explicitly, but you have a mail on the forest list saying, okay, guys, we have a new.
So why are we buying you beer?
Sorry.
The course for me is how they fit in with all the public ideas we have in Linio over there as well.
Well, it's more and more based on Avalon, so
yeah.
Most of that comes from there.
Because it's
the rest is sitemap stuff. Like
yeah.
Really
stuff.
As far as I'm concerned, if someone here wants to come and implement a cocoon itself, that sort of experiment, come along and fix it out.
The good news is we now have three developers looking at Java code doing the cocoon, so that kind of thing might start growing.
Is it,
we're even talking about moving stuff out of Linux to Java. So
find the rumors to jump into that.
I mean, in itself, it's not, it wouldn't be that particularly hard job, it'd just be tedious.
Most of the externalized strings.
You have to have a list of strings to error messages and sort of go search for everything to throw out.
We should maybe reuse the I-18 and the build out that we have and plug that into the
system. Well, the danger, what you've done is you make the I-18. That's actually in core, isn't it?
You always use. Very often.
Our problem is with the messages, two messages, one address. We need to do kind of exception.
Next year, someone will
talk. There's a short.
I thought it sounded very English accent. I recognise accents at all. How do you pronounce your first name?
It's my only name.
It's your own? That's all one name, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. It's Buddhist, is it? Oh, right. When I saw you, you said you're in London. I thought, well, he's not British. He's obviously come over here. Okay. Makes sense now. You just put so much into names when you see them on the email list, don't you? You just make all sorts of assumptions about it. Why? Because you read your name. Yeah. The day that I'll be problems because I'm hearing German and German sounding surname. So you spelt your name wrong, they were saying. Good to see you anyway.
Ross, do you remember where the checksums thing is in the forest configuration?
Checksums thing? Oh, that you? No, I've never even looked at it. I just read your mails and thought it sounds cool if you make it work.
Thanks. It helps. Let's see. Come to Xdocs now. Where was that? Checksums have been here with Garnets. Yeah, that's like this problem. Where's that client Xconf?
It's in web app.
All right, it's in the forest directory, right? Unless you change that, okay.
That's the main
Xconf. Something like that.
So.
Well, within forest, main web app, what in?
The one that's controlling the client.
It's in the web
command line.
If it's the Xconf file, it's in web.
Yeah. Main web app, and then web inf.
Web inf? No. No.
It's a cli.xconf.
Web inf.
Oh, in that web inf directory.
Yeah, and then Xconf.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one I was looking at. I think so. Yeah.
Oh.
The name looks right. No, because this is the one that has all the parameters.
Did you see though, with this question, might be able to save you having to answer this question. Did you see the mail from Duaka? So I'm not sure when it was sent, sometime while I've been travelling, so the next few days, last few days even, next few days. Where he's done something and he mentions the fact that he can timestamp the files as they're generated, which is exactly the problem that you've got.
Yeah. But we want to avoid creating them in the first place or recreating them.
Yeah, well, when you timestamp them the first time, you can stop recreating them the second time. Carry on with the question. I'll
okay,
talk to
you
later.
So, das ist dieser Parameter hier, checksums UI. Und nach der Beschreibung, die hier drin steht, wo ich nicht weiß,
can you guys consider signing up as session chairs for any of the sessions tomorrow that aren't covered? Public service announcement. So.
Yeah, I'll book the sessions around and what is going to.
Nach der Beschreibung, die hier dazu steht, sollte das
a session chair is somebody that announces the speaker. Yes. That's really all that you do. So if you're going to go to a talk,
if you could
sign up to be a session chair, that would be greatly appreciated.
No,
it's actually in Subversion. Foundation.
Sessionchairs.txt.
Thank you very much.
Das wurde auch mal in Cocoon in der Mailingliste, ich hatte da mal nachgesucht, wurde der auch zitiert. Aber du meinst, es gibt gar nicht mehr.
Fürs Command Line, ne?
Ja.
Keine Ahnung.
Wie kann man das denn rausfinden?
Ja, wir mal fragen.
Wen?
Ja, wir mal.
Wer ist das?
Wo finde ich den?
Ich glaube, der hat mit dem Command Line
Teil, glaube ich, was gemacht.
Yeah.